Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, and Sujit Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com. Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 21, and a special episode. We're not going to talk about specific technology within Azure today. We're going to talk about some interesting news that just came out around Azure regarding a name change, but more on that right after we finish introductions. As always, my name is Sujit Mello. I'm a senior consultant with Microsoft, focused on the app dev space. I do a lot of stuff with various .NET technologies, including the cloud technologies like Azure. And on Skype with me today, I have my two esteemed colleagues, William Zach and Evan Basilik. Guys, please introduce yourself.
Hey, Sujit. Yeah, my name is Evan Basilik, and I'm a engineer in the Windows on Azure team, in the Windows team supporting Azure IaaS.
And this is Bill Zach. I'm part of the team that handles technical questions from folks who sign up for Azure free trials and who go to Azure public events. So these are people that are, I would call them pre-customers or people just kicking the tires. And if they have trouble with their trial subscription, they get in touch with us and we help them out.
Fantastic. And Bill, thanks for joining us again. Bill's a special guest on some of our episodes, and we love to have him on here. Kale, as you might have heard, noticed, Kale's not with us today. He got tied up with some customer issues, and fortunately, the life of an MCS consultant and his customer always comes first, so we're going to have to get him next week. But we didn't want to miss today, primarily because some really exciting news that just came out, for those of you who haven't heard about it already. The big change is a name change. Evan, you want to tell our listeners about this?
Yeah, sure. And you know, we do love our name changes here at Microsoft, just like any other company. But I think this one, there's some real strategic reasons, and we'll get into that stuff. But we have changed the name of Windows Azure to Microsoft Azure. We'll talk through some of the both the philosophical and the real reasons that we that it looks like we made that change. Again, none of us know the actual decision, right? This is our opinion on this, but I mean, it makes sense when you start thinking through it, and I think it's a good change.
I think so too. Bill, what do you think? Is this a good thing, a good idea?
I actually think it's a phenomenal thing. I think it's much bigger than people give it credit for.
I agree.
To me, this points the arrow of the future of Microsoft directly at the cloud. So I don't want to be too cliche, but you know, when they first came out a couple of years ago with the cloud-first philosophy, people didn't really believe in it. I think cloud-first is really, in a way, becoming true. So we'll talk later on about specifics and open source and everything, but I also wanted to throw in something else that may, at first blush, not seem related, and that's the ascendancy of two cloud people to the head of Microsoft and the person who took his job. You know, Mr. Nadella was head of the Microsoft Cloud and Enterprise Group and led the transformation to the cloud from that in that role. And Scott Guthrie was one of the moving forces in the Azure development area and with Visual Studio development area. And both those guys are very cloud focused, I think, and that looks well, looks good for Azure in the future.
Yeah, no, if you look at what Satya says, right, cloud first, mobile first. We don't pick sides, it's both.
right.
I haven't quite figured out how I can do two things first, but it clearly drives our conversation to where we're going as a company, right? I mean, it's not an or, it's an and.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, do you want me to rush this job before the job I'm rushing now, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things I kind of took out of it is, you know, I think Microsoft has overused the word Windows in many of our products, unfortunately. And I think this was a good thing to start to leverage more of the Microsoft brand as opposed to the Windows brand.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, from you know, I'll just kind of relate a personal story that we struggle with on my team. You know, we've been trying to figure out how we do Azure support within the Windows group, which is where I sit these days. And, you know, and it sounds silly, but it's really true. We struggled trying to figure out what we name. So we decided to create a separate team within the larger Windows team. And we struggled with what do we call ourselves, right? Do we call ourselves Windows on Windows Azure? But wait a minute, we do Linux on Windows Azure. So what is the Windows Azure piece never really fit when we were talking outside of just the Windows stuff. So we actually had landed on Windows on Azure as our team name because it seemed like it made sense. And, you know, it turns out, right, that really matches with where we've gone with the product is we don't care what you run on Azure, right? We just want you to be able to run it on Azure, and we welcome all comers.
Absolutely, yeah. As a matter of fact, I was just talking to Bill right before we started the call, and, you know, it made sense in the early days of Azure, mm-hmm. as we know it. The first thing was the PaaS, right? When that was one of the first services that we had. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, let's face it, that was Windows only, I believe. You had to write .NET code on Windows, and that was it. So, you know, I can see from the early approach that we had in Azure that calling it Windows Azure made a lot of sense. But we've grown since then, right?
Yep. That goes back to us, you know, kind of realizing that PaaS is the future, right? That hasn't changed. But we had to have something today. And, you know, I don't quite know the story for Linux to PaaS. I have not heard anything about like a Linux PaaS deployment, but I mean, we definitely, and you know, for IaaS, run anything, Node.js, Linux, Ubuntu, I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so Bill, a question for you, when you talk, cause you talk to a different customer base than Sujeet and I do, right? You know, when you talk to these kind of pre-customers, I guess we'll call them, you know, first off, do they ever really have this? I mean, everybody I know calls it Azure anyway, but on top of that, do they really get that we are kind of open to open source and different platforms other than Windows? Or is it really a surprise to them when you share that, hey, you know, you can do whatever you want out there?
No, they're pretty well aware of it. In fact, by the way, I wanted to congratulate you guys on naming your podcast the Azure Podcast. it shows a lot of clairvoyance, I think.
Yeah, I won't even try and take credit since I came in a little bit later. But I'm thinking that we can't give Sujeet too much credit either.
just luck,
yeah.
Dumb luck,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
that's how it worked out. So that was the only domain name available at the time.
Yeah. It's that old blind squirrel thing, right?
Yeah. So getting back to your question, we know people understand. You know, we get lots of requests for people about Linux and lots of requests for people wanting to know about, you know, running Java applications in Azure and doing things like JDBC. So I think the world pretty much knows that we're ecumenical, you know, that we're multi-platform.
Mm-hmm. We just GA'd Oracle on both. Well, I think it was already GA'd for Oracle on Linux, but we just GA'd Oracle on Windows as well. So it's like, hey, bring your Oracle stuff too, right? We don't really care.
With full support as well.
Sure. We can even run their website software, you know. So we've got a lot of Oracle support now and a good deal. And, you know, Oracle used to be really tough about licensing and about restricting their licensing and what customers could actually do with Oracle. Mm-hmm. So that's a big change for them as well, I think.
Yeah. I actually this was news to me because – you know, when I was in SQL Server support, we kind of knew of Oracle, but we didn't support it directly. I didn't realize that up until the announcement, I guess about this time last year when we kind of said we were going to bring Oracle to Microsoft Azure, that Oracle did not support Oracle running on Windows in Hyper-V.
Right.
Right. So that was the other thing that we got with this is we got this whole Hyper-V thing. I mean, that's kind of an aside, but right, ultimately this is just, you know, all about bring anything to us.
Yeah, I still remember on the Oracle website, they had a whole list of supported and unsupported features related to Hyper-V. You know, there was a whole laundry list, and I think that list has gone down quite a bit, you know, if not 100%. I haven't looked lately, but.
Yep.
Well, since we're talking about supported systems on Azure, the Linux OS, what do we actually offer support for Linux 7?
We are in the process of working on, and I forget the exact term, premium, I believe it's the term, premium images,
mm-hmm.
where we're in, you know, we're working to set up agreements with, you know, third party vendors so that we can ultimately have these images that you have this really premium experience with, right? Kind of blessed images. Today, we're not quite to that point. Today, the support comes from the third party, Oracle distribution vendor. But we're moving in that direction, right? We want to go in that direction. I mean, ultimately, and this is kind of scary for me as a support engineer, but, with Oracle launching, there are components of Oracle that I'm going to be responsible for supporting.
Right.
I mean, completely different scenario for me. Ultimately, I can see a point where, hey, I might be talking to a customer who's running Oracle on Linux in Windows Azure, and I actually have to talk to them. Right? These days, it's like, wait a minute, I heard all these things that I don't own. What do you want for me? But, you know, now it's going to be a completely different experience for myself. I mean, it's a big curve for me.
Right. But what about the other Linux distributions that we have? I believe we support Red Hat, CentOS. What else do we support?
Ubuntu. Tell you what, while we're talking, I will pull that up because I don't remember the exact distributions that we support. Bill, do you know them offhand?
Yeah, I think it's Debian, I know, is one, and Ubuntu. We don't support Red Hat. We get that question all the time. When are we going to support Red Hat? So that's definitely a question. And actually, yeah. I believe the problem is that, well, again, I don't know for sure, but I think the problem's on the Red Hat side rather than on the Microsoft side. I think we'd love to, you know, to provide it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list now. So it's Ubuntu, CentOS, the Oracle Linux. Can't forget that one. SUSE Linux, and then OpenSUSE.
Okay.
Are the ones that we support. I'll put the link in our podcast so that we can have it for people after the fact.
I'll put it on the show notes. Yep.
Yep.
Good. So we do support all of those OSs. What about? We can't run like Mac or Sex something like that, right? So
I'm gonna go out on a limb here. It's not supported that I've ever heard or seen. I would be personally really interested to try it. There are, and I'm not going to go into the details because I don't want to get these calls next week. Hey, Evan said it was okay to do this. But I've heard some really interesting things that people have done in Microsoft Azure that I know are not supported configurations, but they can get them up and running. I mean, it's just Hyper-V, right? If you can virtualize it, it's not just Hyper-V. It uses the Hyper-V APIs.
Right.
But if you can run it in Hyper-V, chances are it will run in Azure.
Right.
I don't know. That's a good question.
I know the Mac OS X itself, it looks for certain hardware signatures and whatnot. It's a little bit finicky about where it runs. It'll be curious. If any of your listeners have ever got that working or know someone who has, let us know so we could at least know that people are doing that in Azure.
I think you got to caution people, though. There's a big difference between will it work and is it supported?
Correct.
Okay. That's in other true. Words, a Hyper-V machine can run almost anything, but the question is, you know, like if someone wants to run Exchange, for instance, in Azure, which we don't really support, they could probably get it to work in a test dev environment, but I don't know that, you know, we'd support it in a production environment.
Yeah, we actually do not. We had this conversation a couple weeks back. I think it's on the – there's a list of supported server software, and it's not. But, you're right. And as a support guy, I completely support that statement, which is there is a vast difference between supported and will work. Will work is interesting. Supported is something I can talk to you about.
Right. Good. Okay, yeah. So definitely Microsoft Azure makes a whole lot of sense. Go ahead, Evan.
I was going to say, Sajid, here's a question for you coming from your side of this conversation. As you're going out talking to customers who you're actually helping them implement solutions, right? Bill's kind of on the pre-customer side and I'm on the customers that have implemented and are struggling. Are you finding that the customers you talk to about Microsoft Azure are you actually starting to get MCS engagements where you're working with not necessarily no Microsoft stuff, but are you starting to hear conversations around doing non-Microsoft things in consulting scenarios?
Primarily, they look at Azure for Windows workloads, and that's just part of it is because, you know, obviously the companies that I work for do have a strong Windows presence. That's one of the reasons why I'm there.
Okay.
But they are testing non-Windows images on Azure as well.
Okay.
Because they do like the idea that they could do that and have one place where they can put all of that. So while the primary focus has been to move Windows workloads, and you know, we support a lot of different Windows workloads, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely starting to look at non-Windows workloads as well. And we do have a very good image catalog, right, of these non-Windows images that you can pick from. I believe last I looked at it, there was quite a variety of them with different kind of packages and whatnot, right?
You're talking about the OpenText stuff that we have out in the image gallery?
They could pick from a whole bunch of those mm-hmm. to get started, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like WordPress, for instance. If someone wants to put up a WordPress blog, it's really easy.
Right. Oh, so you're talking about that. I was talking more the VM images, you know.
Oh, okay, sure.
The ones that are in the catalog there.
Okay.
But you're mentioning that, okay, we also support open source content management systems like WordPress being one of them, .NET Nuke, of course, is .NET based, but it's open source.
Drupal is
very popular. Yep.
Now, are those, I don't, so Drupal and, I think WordPress is .NET, but what is Drupal? Do you know under the covers? Is it Java or?
Yeah. It's Java based.
It may be based on
one of the other languages from the Java world. You know, it is open source.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I think there's a bunch of maybe Ruby and whatnot in there.
And Node.js, you know, Node, you know, you don't know really, yeah. not really know.
Yeah,
and is WordPress .NET? I thought it was not. I thought WordPress was PHP, I thought.
I could be wrong on that. I thought at one point I remember seeing some code from it, but it may have been a plugin or something that was .NET. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think it is PHP, but that's not open source. That's actually a company, right? WordPress?
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But we seem to be supporting everything, open source, non-open source, other vendors'
yep.
products. It's very, like I use the term ecumenical.
Yep.
It's very ecumenical.
Yeah, I was talking to one of my developer support colleagues the other day, and he's kind of pulling his hair out as well because they're talking about like how do we support Node.js, right? When a customer calls and says I'm having trouble writing my Node.js thing in Azure,
mm-hmm.
right? And he's normally again they don't engage in those things, but they're being asked to figure out how do we engage and what's the right point to go to, you know, and all that kind of stuff, which is a very different experience.
Yeah.
You may need to fire up some specialists, you know, some people that focus on that. Just like a while back, I know we hired a bunch of open source focused people.
Right.
You may need to hire some more open source people.
Yeah. No, I think we're definitely going in those directions. It's, you know, it's, if you think about where some of our strength, like, so, you know, the one thing that I see, some of our support and consulting offerings turning into is really significant value adds on top of just the platform, right? Because it's not just that your VM comes up, it's that we can help you optimize it and we can help you, you know, if something breaks and those kind of things. But, you know, if you look at it, one of the things we offer in the Windows world is the fact that we have, you know, 10, 15, 20 years of not just experience supporting these things, but developing applications on them and the guys who actually wrote it,
right
are working for us all the years. It's going to take a little while to build that muscle on these other things, but I think once we get that, I mean, think about the value proposition at that point of working on this platform where now you talk to somebody who's been doing Node.js for, you know, years and years and years at that point.
Yep.
Right, who's going to have all that depth there as well.
Now, so Node.js is considered open source, right, I believe?
I believe so, yes.
And then we, on our side, when we put out software in the open source community, I think we issue a Microsoft public license, or is that what we put? What do we call it when we put out stuff?
I'm actually not sure. I know we contribute to a number of open source products these mm-hmm. days, but I'm not sure. I assume we adhere to the licenses for those when we do it, but I'm not sure about the ones that we kind of are the primary driver for.
Yeah, I think we call it shared source, but I could be wrong. I have to look it up.
Okay. Oh, talking about shared source, did you guys catch the news that MS-DOS, the source code for MS-DOS, was released this week?
I saw that. and Word, what is it? Word 1.0? Or
Word,
something?
Yeah. I think the Word for DOS.
Yeah.
Let me run right out and get it.
That's right. That's sure to be a riveting reading.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I mean, from an purely a techie. Right, interest, which I think we all are. I mean, that's kind of interesting. Love to poke around with it, but I guess it's there just to demonstrate what we used to do. I'm not sure what the audience is for that. It's really neat to see, but yeah, I mean, completely understand that.
It's kind of like my Atari 800 that I have down in my basement, which is this computer. You know, it's a curiosity, technical curiosity.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, somebody's going to find an exploit for MS-DOS. I don't know if he's still running it, but yeah.
Yes. You mean you don't support MS-DOS on Azure, Evan?
Yeah. Ah, man, we could be supporting things that were written before some of the engineers I work with were born these days.
Here comes Frogger, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I did see, I think, Sajid, you were the one that either you or Kale said in one of our sessions that like they ran across a blog talking about how to run Minecraft in Azure.
Yes, run a Minecraft server.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Popular thing these days with the kids.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a good discussion on the name change. Any other last thoughts regarding?
Just one last thought, and this is on the negative side. The one of the problems with this name change is now I have to stop calling it Windows Azure.
Yeah.
You know, I barely learned to stop saying SQL Azure, and now I have to stop saying Windows Azure. So that's kind of facetious, but, you know, the name change, a lot of websites are going to have to change, and a lot of collateral and content is going to have to change.
Yeah.
So,
I was actually talking to somebody today. We were working on something in PowerShell, and I hope that the folks that are kind of driving this change kind of do it in such a way that all the, you know, somebody's script who references the Windows Azure SDK folder isn't going to break. So, you know, I think we're aware of that, right? And I think we're going to do the right thing, but I'm sure it's going to bite somebody somewhere.
And it will cost a lot of money for Microsoft to change all those references.
Well, but I think that's a good point, Bill, right? I mean, it's very intentional and we're doing it very deliberately because it's not cheap.
No, it is. It's millions of dollars worth of change, but it's for the good cause.
Yep, completely agreed.
Great. All right, so just as we normally do, I'll just give a few tidbits and updates. Besides this big update that we just talked about with the name change, a couple of things I wanted to bring to the reader's attention. One is if you are in India and you're thinking of using Azure out there, they've got an interesting program out there. Microsoft India has a program where if you have hardware in your data center lying around, there's a trade-in scheme where you can trade in your old hardware for Azure credits, I suppose, on your Azure subscription. So, you know, I guess they're trying to make it worth your while so you don't lose your investment in your hardware by giving you something in Azure credits where you can run the same workload that you used to run on that old hardware, which I thought was an interesting way to market the thing.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then in China, so we talked about India, but if you're in China and you've been waiting to use Windows Azure there, due to special laws or restrictions, they've had to work with the local vendor out there to set up an Azure data center, and it's up and running now. So, if you're in that part of the world and you need looking for an Azure subscription, you can now open one inside of China itself. And those are the two tidbits that I had. We'll put all the links in the show notes. Any last thoughts, guys?
Nope,
I'm good.
Great. Well, thanks for having both of you on the podcast again. As always, we really appreciate your insights into these areas. And we'll see you guys next week.
See you, folks.
Take care.
Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the show.
If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.